The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15 powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
Rolling into the final hour of the program, we're live on the 4th of July. We appreciate you taking time to hang out with us, part of a long, lazy week. I hope if you had to work Monday, Tuesday, or yesterday, you paced yourself. The man's going to get his pound of flesh either way. Make sure that you have time for you and the people you care about in your lives as we get philosophical to start the final hour of a scintillating July 4th edition of The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Brian Weber. If I can be more of the mindset of patting myself on the back, let's see if I can do that. I don't want to knock the microphone over or forget to turn on the mic, because if I'm involved, operator error is always a possibility. Good show today. A lot of insights offered, hopefully by yours truly. Probably more specifically by our guests. First hour, we talked NFL with Trevor Sikkema, a Pro Football Focus. Gabe Lux just had outstanding baseball analysis. Check out his work at USA Today. Now, I know people would say, hey, radio man, hey, fill-in guy, as you over-enunciate, why are you telling me what I missed? Because, thanks to technology, you don't have to miss anything. Our terrific podcast team we'll push out the podcast at the conclusion of today's show. So, most importantly, when Rich and the fellas are back on Monday, if you miss any portion of any program, listen anytime on demand by downloading the Rich Eisen Show podcast. Coming up in 40 minutes, in addition to my basketball soliloquy, I got one more strong NBA monologue in me after having the ups and downs of this free agency cycle on the air. We were able to pass along in real time Klay Thompson taking his talents to Dallas, wrapping up Monday's program. 40 minutes from now, we will sum things up. We will offer context. We will not hand out report cards. We're not doing winners or losers, but we're going to look at teams like the Lakers and the Warriors, who've done virtually nothing of substance. And for the Lakers, they've done nothing literally. The only changes on the roster so far are the two draft picks. You might have heard of Bronny James and Dalton Knecht, who's a volume shooter, SEC Player of the Year out of Tennessee, who went number 17. We'll cover it all with Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report coming up in 20 minutes, because tomorrow, and I'm getting a jump on tomorrow's program because I have to fight through fireworks in my neighborhood. I live adjacent to a golf course, not in a gated community, not on the golf course, in the neighborhood. The one good thing that came from the pandemic was they shut down the fireworks at the golf course. It's back this year. I saw the memo. So I got to hit the sleeping pill by 7:30, because it is going to be like I'm in New York City on the Hudson River. That's how loud it gets in my neighborhood. And I got to be rested for my final three-hour push tomorrow. So mapping out thoughts in advance. We're talking a lot more football tomorrow. And we're also going to pivot to some college football. Now, you might be thinking, that's way early, bro. I'm doing this based on the calendar. We're now down to four power conferences. I will have my eulogy for my beloved Pac-12 conference tomorrow. The Big 12, which is hanging on for dear life, and they'll get cannibalized soon, just a matter of time before the SEC and the Big Ten take the best teams remaining from the Big 12 and the ACC. The Big 12, to try to enhance its relevance, They're kicking off their media days next Wednesday in Las Vegas. Second week of July, so they can get ahead of the SEC. Because each year, college football becomes more and more of a carbon copy of the NFL. So, in advance of my college football conversation tomorrow, I started thinking about where things stand in big-time college sports in general. For years, people were shouting death to the NCAA, understandably so, given their dysfunction and corruption. If you're part of that crowd, I got good news for you, and we'll get there coming up in 20 minutes. Circling back to the NBA, and it's frustrating from a standpoint of being a talk show host. Now, it is my job. I am paid to be creative, but when we went through the typical news cycle during this time of the year, as recently as last year, or we could talk about the tentpole years, Durant going to Golden State, every summer of LeBron, once we got past those bright, shiny objects, there were a lot of very meaningful moves on the next tier, the second apron, if you will. And I'm going to describe what that means and how it's killed what used to be a dominant week for the NBA. Now, some of what's happened to slow things down this year came down to the people involved. And Paul George has had a very nice career. At the age of 34, multiple All-Star. But if we sum up the player he's been and the impact he's made since 2019, and remember, I keep using the word context, it matters. You have to go through the chronology and the backstory to have reasonable analysis. The Clippers went all in to get Paul George. A bunch of number one picks, and they sent Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to Oklahoma City. Now, in 2019, they didn't know he'd become an All-NBA talent, but if you follow the league, you knew he was a dynamic young player. Now he's part of a club that was the top seed in the West and just got better, because we don't pay attention to the secondary moves because we get intoxicated with LeBron getting his kid a job, LeBron getting his podcast co-host a job, and LeBron taking every single dollar he could and doing it in the fashion with a one-year guarantee plus a one-year player option to do it all over again next summer. But if we're thinking about moves of significance, OKC had two outstanding additions, picking up Alex Caruso, who I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but he defends. He's a two-way player, and the Lakers desperately could use him, but they bungled that. And Knicks fans, while they are feeling good, justifiably so, with the trade for Mikal Bridges and making sure that OG Anunoby didn't hit the free agent market with his mega deal, missing Hartenstein is going to exact a toll. The Knicks are a better team based on picking up Bridges, but Hartenstein, as you know, gave him quality minutes, and that's another perfect complementary talent for the young Thunder, who are going to be good for the next half decade, given how that roster is constructed. Well, what did Paul George do since making the move from OKC to LA? One conference finals, 2021. Remember, Kawhi got hurt that year. Unfortunately, I could say that about every year. He got hurt again this season as the Clips were the 5 seed, knocked out first round by the Mavs. If you add it all up, sum total, George on the Clippers, 3 playoff series victories in 5 years with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, allowing even free spending and obscenely rich Steve Ballmer. I always, if I say Steve Ballmer, I'm either going to say toilets and mimic him screaming at a Microsoft software convention in the early 1990s, or I'm going to remind you that he has more money than anybody in sports. His net worth is more than the other 29 owners in the NBA combined. But given this new collective bargaining agreement, Steve Ballmer had the cover to say, even I, who have more money in my change compartment and whatever of his 9 cars that he's driving around and probably having a driver transport him in, than you and I will accumulate in several lifetimes. Even free spending Steve Ballmer drew the line at 3 years wouldn't go to a fourth year because, well, the CBA won't let me. Because we have this second apron. Now, remember, who are the authors of the collective bargaining agreement? It is, as the word collective would suggest, hammered out between labor and management. Let's focus on the management side. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424, the number to call. And the conversation getting hot on the X platform. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs in 30 minutes. We'll say hello to Eric Pincus. He covers the NBA for Bleacher Report. Ownership got tired of being embarrassed, especially with their own fan base, but also from a national point of view, of not spending more to benefit their teams. Quite simply, that's all the motivation of this second apron was. What is the second apron? Without getting too far in the weeds, once you move past luxury tax, you got in a very unique distinction by spending more that virtually paralyzed your franchise, making it so much more difficult to do sign-in trades, which are a major component to the NBA offseason cycle. You couldn't buy draft picks. The whole point was to make it as difficult to do business as possible. But using that as a ruse, it allowed owners like Steve Ballmer, and I can't crush him for all the money he spent. I can go after Stan Kroenke because the Nuggets have done nothing since winning that championship last season. And I keep going back to Bruce Brown. Again, I'm not saying that he deserves a spot in Springfield, Mass., but you realize that you have to have role players on a championship team. And you think about the body of work of, say, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope winning a title with the Lakers and winning a title with Denver last season. The fact that they did not want to pay him, and he wound up in Orlando, and that's a very nice pickup for a good Orlando team ahead of schedule. I know nobody watched that first-round series against the Cavs. That was the NBA TV spectacular. But Paolo Banchero is the face of the franchise. Good role players like Jalen Suggs, like the addition of KCP. But from the Denver point of view, he never should have left. But Stan Kroenke doesn't want to spend the money because he doesn't have to. And he can use the cover of the second apron. Hey, I'd like to pay an important piece like KCP, but I can't. My hands are tied by this CBA. I wonder who wrote that. The owners did, to give them public cover. And in the process, they have taken away what used to be a dominant and exciting week for the NBA. Now, the coverage continues because the talking head shows need something to talk about. But if you have Bronny James fatigue and you notice I'm doing my best not to spend much time talking about it because it's irrelevant, I can't blame you. Every time you turn on your TV, I make sure to set the DVR for SportsCenter and whatever the Mike Greenberg experience is afterwards just to make sure I'm not missing anything. I thought it was deja vu all over again. It was the same show, understanding it's a holiday, as it was yesterday when we found out that LeBron, as we knew, wasn't going anywhere because he's never going to leave Los Angeles because he has the lifestyle that he wants and he's content on no longer competing for championships, whatever the public spin might be. But as we think about why the league arrived at the decision that has bogged down this free agency cycle, it was all about billionaires not wanting to be embarrassed anymore. So if you're Steve Ballmer, you can have your PR minions put out the statement saying, we appreciate Paul George. He was a wonderful asset, but we are not willing to go to a fourth year. And if Paul George has a problem with that, he should take it up with his union, who agreed to the terms of the new collective bargaining agreement. They should take it up with Kawhi Leonard, who agreed to a three-year deal in December that came out of nowhere. Because if Kawhi had a four-year contract, you can't tell me Paul George would not have been in line to duplicate his running mate. Also, because I'm here in Southern California, I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, enjoying another outstanding experience with you throughout the entire holiday week, and we'll wrap it up with Style Points tomorrow. You can justify Paul George moving on from the Clippers and being pushed out the door from a basketball perspective because what did they accomplish with him? As I mentioned, one trip to the conference finals. It's a team filled with duplication. Harden, Leonard, George, and you got poor old Russell Westbrook, although he's fitting in because he's got no other options. Took $4 million this year just to continue to play in the league. They're all virtually the same player. Aging, ball dominant. And if you watch the clips, even with their depth, they just lacked cohesion. As opposed to, say, the Knicks that play like a team, and that's only going to get better with the Nova Knick concept being amplified with the pickup of Bridges, and the Boston Celtics, who I did not talk about much this week, beyond the fact that now the team is for sale, probably second apron related, although that's just pure economics. This is the top of the market. Cash out, get every dollar you can. I would not be surprised if they sell to someone with a gaming interest because sports wagering is legal in Massachusetts. They're going to need a newer arena soon. You want to venture a bet? Look what I did there. That the new version of the Garden will also have a sports book on the premises. So whoever writes the $5 or $6 billion check is getting the keys to the kingdom to print even more money. But they're going to be on the hook for Tatum getting $314 million after Brown got $285 last year. You throw in a key contributor like Derek White, 4 years, $125 million, and the Celtics have ensured that their starting five is under contract and coming back next year. So after all of these moves, which I've done my best to analyze and come up with unique, hopefully, analysis. I'm not just reading the transaction wire. I'm trying to let you know what it means. Where do we stand now league-wide? What's changed? Well, I told you, I think OKC won free agency in the West. So the top seed just solidified their standing with the pickups of Caruso and Hartenstein. Dallas made it to the finals. I think they have gotten better with the addition of Klay Thompson, who realized that the Lakers are in virtually the same situation as the team that he left, even though he helped build a dynasty at Golden State. Remember, the Warriors couldn't even make it out of the play-in, losing to the Kings. Lakers won that single game, beating the Pelicans, and got swept by the Nuggets. And even though, according to reports, Lakers were willing to go to a fourth year, and LeBron would have taken less in that case, and Klay could reunite with his father, who helped the Lakers win titles, part of the Showtime era, and he's still part of the broadcast team on the radio network for the Lakers, come back home to Southern California, he said, pass, hard pass, get me to Dallas, better situation, I'll leave a year on the table, and I'll have a chance to compete for another championship, to stick it to the Warriors, and play with no pressure as the third option alongside Kyrie and Luka. Probably should reverse the orders. Luka's team and Kyrie disappeared for long stretches in the NBA Finals, especially on the road at the Garden, as that Boston crowd undeniably got inside his head, along with Boston's suffocating defense, and the deals that they made prior to the deadline, picking up Gafford and Washington, and a very solid young post player looking to build on his strong rookie year, and Derek Lively. So, the top seed OKC got better. The team that made it out of the West, the Mavs, got better. The Nuggets aren't doing anything. Beyond their complete inertia, they keep slowly losing key contributors. And then think about, say, Memphis, that's going to be better after they won 50 games a couple years ago, and Ja Morant hopefully can keep his life in order and stay on the court. It is interesting. As we go through all of these different scenarios, not much change at all in the West. Lakers going to be lucky to get back to the play-in, and then you got the middle of the pack. What about Phoenix? With all the speculation that Kevin Durant might be on the block, they're going to run it back with a big three that did nothing in large measure because they could never stay healthy enough to play together in Durant, Beal, and Booker. And what did all of that money spent by Matt Ishbia, the new owner, get him? Getting swept in the first round by Minnesota. And Minnesota, of course, is going to be better next year because they had the learning curve. as a young team, relatively young team, but the face of the franchise, Anthony Edwards, very young. You have to learn how to win in the postseason, and they're going to have very strong takeaways, even though they fell short of making it to the NBA Finals, by getting to the conference finals. In the East, Sixers got the man they wanted. Biggest splash in free agency. I'll slot them second behind Boston. I'll put the Knicks right behind them. We can go 2A, 2B. Giannis and Dame are still going to be a force if they can stay healthy. But after all of these transactions and all of the analysis and all of my hand-wringing about this lousy CBA sucking the life out of free agency, nothing has changed. Boston still clearly the team to beat. And remember, this is a team that made the finals a couple years ago, and their two best players in Tatum and Brown are still only in their mid-20s. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. 40 minutes left in this program, although in fairness, in 20 minutes, we'll bring in Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. So if you want to throw an opinion my way, do it immediately on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I talk baseball. It is not career suicide, especially when I got help from Gabe Lux of USA Today in the previous hour. And we know, especially on the 4th of July, if you're a traditionalist, you're thinking about MLB. A reminder, Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace, which makes getting baseball tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer we get the first pitch. So that's really efficient. They've got killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee. You put that all together, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets for sports. I've used the app. It is outstanding because it is so easy to use and has so many great features. And think about everything going on this week. Sports, entertainment, concerts, you name it. Game Time has last-minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. It's easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event. You can check out views from all the seats in the venue. Mention lowest price guarantee. They have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, much more. Last-minute deals, always stellar. Get this, you can save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and whatever you want to check out these days. With zone deals, you can save even more when you choose a section, let Game Time choose the seats, and you're going to have peace of mind. Their lowest price guarantee or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference, and your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Make buying baseball tickets easy with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now. Create an account. Use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create your account right now and redeem the code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guarantee. Coming up, we will preview my college football discussion tomorrow by getting into a chant I've heard for many years. If you're someone who has wanted the death of the NCAA, looks like you may be soon living your best life. I hope you're living a great life on the 4th of July. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. We continue here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light bike fixed or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, everybody, this just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. Supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. We are winding down with 30 minutes left together, and in 15 minutes, we wrap it up with Gusto talking more NBA with Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. Back with you tomorrow. And as I start working on that format, much more football conversation. And we will check in with Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com because whether you're ready or not, the Big 12 is coming your way. Now, how many teams are in the Big 12? Pop quiz. Well, why don't we start with how many teams are in the Big 10? Does 18 make sense? None of this makes sense to me, but I will be completely upfront with you. I am still going through the stages of grief after the death of the Pac-12 conference. So tomorrow when we check in with Pete, we'll get into the big brand names and the expansion of the college football playoff. But here's a brief preview. Even with a bigger field, we're talking about the same teams because that's how it works in college football. Years ago, and again, I don't want to say everything was better in 1987, although in many ways it was. I think I probably peaked circa 87, 88. But we used to have BYU with a shot at the national championship, in fact, winning a national title. Do I have to get you back to Bobby Dowd at Georgia Tech, Bobby Ross at Bobby Dowd Field in Atlanta? We had more variety now because of the financial arms race and the disparity between the haves and have-nots. The blue bloods have never been bluer. So I'll give you a sense of who Vegas thinks is in line to win it all. We'll do that coming up tomorrow. Want to get into how things have changed so dramatically for an institution I've never had anything but contempt for. And that's a strong word. Never like to use the word hate, although I know hater has changed in our collective vocabulary. But to me, the NCAA has always been a fraud. And if you just want to talk about the abject greed, look at the salaries. The folks connected to the NCAA have made for decades off the backs of unpaid labor while coming up with ridiculous penalties, never catching the most overt cheaters, going after Jerry Tarkanian for years before finally losing to him in federal court. And I'm not justifying everything Tark did, although now everything that you NOV and UCLA back in the day. How do you think John Wooden, beyond all of his brilliance, got all of those players to come to Westwood? Google a fellow named Sam Gilbert. All of that now would be above board, as it should be, because players should always have had a chance to share in the revenue they create. I understand the value of a college education. Probably no other fill-in host in the nation is more pro-education than yours truly. I have squandered a lot of expensive degrees to be shouting into this microphone on July 4th. But we're not talking about the academic, athletic environment of 1923. College sports has always been a huge business, never more so than now. So even if you find a lot of this stuff to be a bit boring, I want to bring it up because of the implications it's going to have in terms of the programs you may care about. Now, as I mentioned, as we move to the college football playoff era, the consolidation of power amongst the biggest, most notable brands in college football has never been more obvious. And that's going to continue with a settlement the NCAA had to reach. If not, if they had lost in court, they would have been bankrupted. So they came to their senses and said, let us cut the financial bleeding as much we can. But revenue sharing is coming to college sports. Beyond the revenue opportunities that have been created in recent years by name, image, and likeness. So within the next 18 months, you pick your school and your favorite sport. Now, this is where it gets murky. Are people on the wrestling team going to be eligible for revenue sharing? My gut would say no, because they don't create any revenue. Now, you could say they come up with some ticket sales, but you get my point. And there's an expense with the scholarship and everything it costs to run a program. So we're talking about football, men's basketball, and women's basketball at some universities. Those players are going to get checks from the schools as part of this settlement of a long, ongoing court battle. Well, the NCAA has got more trouble, because we're not just talking about the current student-athlete, as much of a contradiction that is. Let's just say the current players in college and the next few classes that will be the first to get a chunk of dough directly from the schools in revenue sharing. Now, the past generations want in, and I don't blame them, because the NCAA and big-time college sports, and I'm talking about football and men's basketball, have been ripping off these kids for decades. So, for example, remember back in the day, Mario Chalmers winning an NCAA title for Kansas against Memphis 2008? Well, Chalmers is now suing the NCAA because he wants to get compensated, because they've been running the highlight of his shot that helped Kansas win the national title on their website with ads next to it for years. And Chalmers is saying, that's my name, image, and likeness. Cut me a check. And he's not wrong. So the NCAA, just when they thought they had found a path to survival with the revenue sharing agreement that still has to be signed off upon by a judge, just when they thought they had found a way to remain a functioning organization, I think this is going to be the dagger. Because depending on how things play out in the court, the door was open for everybody in the past to say, where's my cut? You've been making money off my activities, my highlights, my NIL for decades. And we just saw with the settlement that the NCAA is trying desperately to find any avenue they can to remain viable. I think they're going to settle this as well. And this could be even more staggering in terms of the total, because we're talking about decades of athletes in a class action suit. And we're back to billions and billions. And what does the NCAA actually do? The only reason exists is the conference don't want to police themselves. That's it. Well, we know where it's going. It's going to be the SEC and the Big 12. That's it. Everybody else will be a step down, like the English Premier League and the other soccer clubs in the UK. So if you've been wanting and cheering for the death of the NCAA for decades, it looks like you're probably going to get your wish sooner rather than later. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. We'll talk college football in terms of matters on the field tomorrow with Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. Straight ahead, we wrap it up with more NBA discussion. After all the free agent moves, did anything really shift in terms of the balance of power atop the NBA? Looking forward to saying hello to Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. I'm Brian Weber, always having a great time whenever I'm in for Rich and the guys. This is a July 4th installment of The Rich Eisen Show.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe, that's B-L-E-A-V, podcast, wherever you listen.
Brian Weber in for Rich. It is a Independence Day edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Always a pleasure to talk NBA with an old friend, Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. Eric, thanks so much for taking the time on this holiday. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
It is an absolute delight, and I know you're waiting patiently, so you might not have been able to see on the X platform within the last couple minutes another Woj bomb from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Buddy Hield has found a home. He's joining the Warriors on a sign-and-trade guarantee, 2 years, $21 million. Your reaction to that, and what else do you think the Warriors could have in store as they try to move on in the post-Klay Thompson era?
Well, I don't know how much more they have in store because of the rules in terms of the way they're acquiring players. They're acquiring Kyle Anderson via sign-and-trade. They're acquiring Buddy Hield. And that's going to lock in what we call the first apron. It's a hard spending limit of $178 million for the Warriors. So it looks like that's where they're probably going to have to stop. Now they have a little flexibility. They could always trade a Gary Payton or Kevon Looney. But I don't know if there's much more. They've been aggressive. They've been very active to sort of offset what they're losing. And I think it's emotionally or, just like sentimentally disappointing that the Splash Brothers are no more. But you have to adapt to the game and Klay, and he'll be fine in Dallas, and Warriors will be a fun product, and it'll be fun to see what they become.
Eric, you're the perfect person to have this conversation with because you really are a capologist. I've seen you on NBA TV, and you do a great job of putting things that seem complicated into more straightforward terms for casual fans. I've been talking a lot about these aprons, and I am not as well-versed in NBA economics, but as someone who loves free agency, was this week less than scintillating primarily because of the names? We're talking Paul George and Klay Thompson, or did this new CBA in the second apron have a real impact?
There's a lot of things going on, and I get that it feels like July 1st was like, okay, July 2nd was kind of Okay. July 3rd was real quiet, so it hasn't been quite as spectacular of a free agent frenzy, but they did change the rules. And so one of the rules they changed was that teams can start to negotiate with their own free agents after the NBA Finals. So we got like Pascal Siakam back to Indiana a couple weeks ago. We got like OG Anunoby back to the Knicks. You go down the list of names that we got that might have made July 1st or you know June 30th in the evening is when Nick actually starts a little bit less scintillating. So I don't know that there were fewer names. We had actually more excitement over a longer period of time. We had, I think that's probably good for the NBA, right? Like in terms of exposure and interest. If you're part of the news cycle day after day after day, even after your finals are over, that's better than just having one or two giant days where there's so much going on that a lot of it gets lost. So it wasn't a great free agent market to begin with. That's just situational. We also have like a little dip in our, the NBA's income is growing from last year to this year, but it's the smallest growth in the last 2 years. Instead of 10%, it's about 3-something. And then next year it's supposed to go back to 10 and stay at 10 for like the next 5 years. So like we have this little dip that just happened to be this year. It made it seem less exciting, but I don't think it's because of these restrictive rules. If anything, it's causing teams to be more creative. You see what the Knicks are doing, what the Warriors are doing. Teams are being creative. I don't think that's a negative. It's just a different way of operating.
Thank you for that explanation. And I think we're all adjusting as members of the sports media. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, talking hoops with my pal Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. Eric, you've covered the Lakers for many years. As of today, the only new additions on the roster are the draft picks, Dalton Connect and Bronny James, and I'll skip the Bronny James conversation today. What do you think the Lakers can do in the short term? Are we looking at DeMar DeRozan? What other names come to mind, or are they content just to run it back?
I don't know if content is the right answer, but their biggest acquisition is a rookie, and his name is J.J. Redick. And he's not going to be coming out and hitting threes, but he is their first-time head coach. He's never coached before, and this is either a brilliant move or a complete disaster. I don't think there's going to be a middle ground. I don't think he'll be average. I think he'll either be really, really, really good or really, really, really bad. He's very smart, knows how to communicate well. So I think that's part of it, that they're saying, hey, 2 years ago we got to the conference finals. Last year, they obviously fired Darvin Ham. They didn't believe that he was doing the right job. And I think there's an expectation that the team itself will be better. That said, they gave a bunch of guys player options like Christian Wood, Cam Reddish, Jackson Hayes, and they all opted in. The Lakers are at 15 players now, and there are two-way contracts, which are hybrid contracts. We won't get into that, but they basically have a full roster. And they also are right at that. We talked about the Warriors having a spending limit. The Lakers' spending limit internally is about 190. It's the second apron. So we have two aprons now. And once you're over that 190, the league starts to put in some penalties, including frozen draft picks. It's just an area the Lakers and most teams will avoid. The Celtics, sure, where a championship team will go above that line. But the Lakers, who are not that, I think they're setting a hard line there. So if they're right at that line and have 15 players, how do they add a DeMar DeRozan? They don't have any money to spend. They have the minimum, but that would push them over their budget, which they could do. But there's not even a roster space for them, so now they'd have to cut a guaranteed player. So you start to run into some issues. They don't have enough money to offer DeMar DeRozan. To get an improvement requires a trade at this point. They don't have any other choice because they don't have space. They don't have a budget, so they have to get out of players. Now, teams are well aware of their situation, the pressure they have with LeBron James and their media market to be successful. And so if the Lakers call up and say, hey, we'd like to do this trade, teams are going to be like, okay, well, we want Austin Reeves. We want Rui Hachimura. We want your future draft picks. We want everything you got. And that's the problem for the Lakers is, yeah, they need a trade, but they don't have an obvious pathway to something great. Now, I think they could probably find someone to take Christian Wood, probably take, get Cam Reddish off their books, trade him to almost any team could take them on. Maybe the Lakers send some cash, send a second round pick, and that would enable them to sign another minimum player. But that doesn't get them to a DeMar DeRozan. It doesn't get them to a massive upgrade that suddenly catapults them into this upper stratosphere in the Western Conference.
Sounds like more of the same here in Southern California. We are spotlighting the NBA with Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. Eric, got a couple minutes left. As you think about the impact of Paul George going to Philadelphia, how much have the Sixers narrowed the gap between themselves and the Celtics?
So I'm skeptical a little bit, and my issue is, like, they needed the best big wing that they could get, and they got the best available big wing. So they, mission accomplished. Their flexibility was used. They'll keep Maxey, who's one of the better young guards in the league. They've got Joel Embiid, who's one of arguably the best center in the league. We could say Jokic, but in that conversation. And George, I watched him. I cover out of LA, saw him play a lot of games. And about a third of the games, when you watch him, you see the best player in the league. And about a third of the games, you're like, dang, his legs are dead. You know what I mean? So what Paul George are we going to get? Is he going to be fully healthy in the playoffs? He's been healthier than Kawhi, but he has had some injuries in the playoffs the last few years. So that's been the main issue with Joel Embiid. So I just, if you tell me today that you know that Joel Embiid and Paul George will be healthy and fresh in the playoffs, then I love it. Absolutely. Unfortunately, you can't promise me that. No one can. And so I do worry about that. But that said, they made the best move that they had to make. It's an all-in win-now move because Paul George is well over 30. Embiid's about 30 or so. I know that Maxey's young, but the idea is they don't have that much time. So they went for it, and I always respect when a team goes for it.
Eric, outstanding analysis as always. I greatly appreciate you taking the time on the holiday. Hope you and your family enjoy the 4th.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Talk soon.
I will talk to you soon. Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. My man knows his stuff. That was a doctoral thesis on the inner workings of the NBA. And I give Eric credit. He said it in plain English. So I know there was a lot of nitty-gritty capology, but I think you could follow what Eric was saying. And the whole point, my biggest takeaway of this new CBA, is to give owners cover not to do anything and to give them an incentive to retain their own stars. Because remember, the teams that were missing out on the super teams were saying it just can't be 5 or 6 teams in this league, although, unless you love basketball as much as I do, most of you only care about a half dozen teams. I get it, but there is an 82-game regular season, which is too long, but it's never going anywhere because that's where the revenue is generated from. So get used to the world of the second apron. Eric was smart. He is a shrewd marketing man. He would push out some merch. Speaking of name, image, and likeness, I would buy an apron with the lovely picture of Eric Pincus on it as I got ready to stand over my Weber grill. How many more plugs can I get in our remaining moments? I appreciate you spending part of the 4th of July with us. We're back with you tomorrow. And looking ahead, I mentioned we're going to talk some college football with my good friend Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. He is highly entertaining. Be sure to follow him on the X platform as well. In fact, there are no NBA guests booked for tomorrow, and just a couple on the docket. We'll also talk some baseball with Keith Law. And the rest of the program, so long as I remember to turn on the microphone, is going to be football heavy. So I realize for many of you, it was a lot of NBA this week. I did my best to mix it up. I did my best to be comprehensive. But after a while, even I tap out. Something that Joey Chestnut never would have done. Of course, politics kept him away from Coney Island. And yes, I'm appeasing all you hot dog lovers out there with a Chestnut name drop on my way out the door. Want to thank Eric from Bleacher Report. Want to thank Gabe Lux of USA Today. Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus, joined us in the first hour. Thanks to Rich Eisen, Bruce Gilbert, all the great people at Westwood One, my good friend and our outstanding technical producer, Art Martinez. I'm Brian Weber. Have a happy and safe 4th of July, and we'll do it again tomorrow here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, season 4. I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.